Amen, all the time. You can turn me down just a little bit over there, guys. So I'm much louder, and I may get a little louder today. I don't know. I'm pretty excited. Why don't you stand this morning and open your Bibles, if you will, to Ephesians 1:7. Praise the Lord, and He is good. Look what the Word of God says this morning. In Him, in Christ, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Let's read that again. In Him, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. We do this here, and let's do it together. We hold up our Bibles, and we make this confession. So say it with Pastor this morning. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have, and I can do what it says I can do. Today, I boldly confess, my mind is clear, my heart is open to receive God's Word, and I will never be the same, never, never the same, in Jesus' name, amen. Turn to three people this morning and say, God is a good, good God. Would you do that? Wow. So today, as I've mentioned already, we're going to be having a baptism, and so I thought, you know, it would be good this morning if I just share on baptism. So actually, in the New Covenant, there are three baptisms. So I can't teach on all of them. I'd like to just go in depth on all of them, but I'm going to teach just kind of briefly on all three and kind of let you know what we have in Christ and where we are and what's available for us in Christ. So the very first baptism that we have is that when we believe, the moment we believe, we are baptized into Jesus Christ. So the moment you believe, as a believer, you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you believe that they came into the world. The Bible says in John 3:16, what? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And then verse 17 says, for God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world. God didn't come to condemn us, but that we might be saved, that the world might be saved through Him. So the moment you come to Christ, the Holy Spirit baptizes us into all that Christ has provided for us. And He has provided so much, I could spend a year just going on of what God has provided for us. But one of the first things I want you to be aware of, that when you come to Christ, that He has forgiven you. He has forgiven you. He has wiped the slate clean. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what happened in your life. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what type of lifestyle you've had. I want to declare to you that the moment you believe Jesus Christ is your Savior, He has forgiven you. Wow, that is some good news. And not only has He forgiven you, but He continually forgives you. Oh, come on, Pastor. That's almost too good to be true. Well, you know what? Your sin didn't stop Him forgiving you in the first place. Amen. And if you blow it again, He still loves you and still can forgive you. Amen. Only thing you just have to do is change your mind, which is repentance, and just turn back to your new thought and your new way of thinking. I want to give you some scriptures on this, because a lot of people say, does God really continually forgive us? Yeah, look at Ephesians 1:7. Look at this, Ephesians 1:7. We just read it. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin. And the word, if you notice the word, in Him we have. Look at the word have there. And what that literally means in the original Greek is a present tense. And it indicates a durative action, meaning we are continually having forgiveness. So what is so good about that is your mistake never stopped the blood of Jesus from flowing. It just continually flows on our behalf. So we can continually walk in a relationship with God. I used to think if I blew it, I was out of relationship with God. No, God loves us so much, and God has forgiven us so much, amen, that even when we blow it, it doesn't interrupt our relationship with God. We just turn our minds and thoughts back over to Him. Turn to somebody and say, that's some good news. Well, Pastor, that's one scripture. Could you show me another? Yeah, let me show you another one this morning. 1 John 2:12. 1 John 2:12. Look at this scripture. This is so good. 1 John 2:12. I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. Are forgiven. The word are forgiven in the Greek is a definite action. It means completed in the past with effect continuing into the present. I'll try to say that again. Let me get this out for you guys this morning. It means this. It means completed in the past, that all of our past failures and sin and mistakes have been forgiven, but also with the effect of continuing into the present. Wow, that is God's love in action towards you. You see, once you become a believer, you're not perfect on this outside. You become perfect in your spirit man. Your spirit man is what is saved. Your spirit man is the real you. This is just your earth suit that you live in for a temporary time. But the spirit man inside of you is what lives forever. This outward man is not perfect yet, but your inward man is complete and perfect in Jesus Christ. You can still make mistakes with this outward man, but your inward person is saved and complete and secure in Him. Wow. Amen. Are y'all with me this morning? Y'all tracking? Let me give you another scripture. Look at Colossians 2:13-14 this morning. Colossians 2:13-14. You were dead because of your sins, and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave some of your sins. One of your sins. Maybe a few of your sins. No, how many did He forgive, guys? Here's the Greek word for all. The Greek word for all is all. And that means past, present, and future. He forgave all your sin. Look at verse 14. Look at this. He canceled the record. You know, that's a good amen back there. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. Man, that is so good. Amen. Jesus loves us so much. When we receive the Lord Jesus our Savior, we receive the total, complete forgiveness of all of our sins. Amen. You were an empty vessel. So look at John 20:22. I want you to see this. You were an empty vessel. When you were out there running around and trying to find yourself or searching for the truth, you were just empty on the inside. I've heard so many people, you know, I felt so empty, so empty. But when you've come to Christ, Christ has filled you up with His love, with His peace, with His joy, right? So let me give you a little demonstration. So, this is the Lord here, right? And this is you, empty shot glass. You know you're in a non-religious place when you hold up an empty shot glass, right? But this was you. This was you, and you were trying to fulfill yourself and find all the things, and the only thing, you just came up empty all the time. But then you came to Christ, right? You came to Christ, and He poured His life into your spirit, and He filled you with the Holy Spirit. So once you become a believer, you are now filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's the same thing that happened to the disciples. After the resurrection of Christ, He appeared to them, and this is what He said to them. And when He had said this, He breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So once you have become a believer, now you are filled with God's Spirit in your spirit. In fact, your spirit and God's spirit, the Bible says, are now one. You are one with Jesus in the Spirit, amen, forever, throughout eternity and now. And then look at Romans 8, 9. I love this. Romans 8, 9. But you are not in the flesh any longer. In other words, we're not doing those carnal things we used to do, because now we are in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Right? We're not his unless we have the Spirit of Christ. And so what Christ gave us, the moment that we believe, is all of our sins were forgiven, and then he gave us or filled us with his Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us as a believer. He used to come up on people in the Old Testament, but now he's dwelling in us. Y'all still with me this morning? Amen. Not only that, we are fully accepted in Jesus Christ. Look at Ephesians 1:6. Ephesians 1:6. I love this scripture. To the praise of the glory of his grace. Everybody say his grace. It wasn't by your effort. It wasn't by your religious activity. It was simply by believing in the finished work of Jesus that you have and I have been accepted in the beloved. We are accepted in the beloved. Amen? So the Holy Spirit baptizes us into Jesus, into the body of Christ. And then we are accepted in the beloved. Look at 1 Corinthians 12, 13. So therefore, we are all members of his body now because of Jesus Christ and because of what he's done. For by one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. So you're sitting next to Jesus's body this morning. That person next to you is part of the body of Christ. Whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, all have been made to drink into one Spirit. Man, we are all in Jesus, all one with him, and should be all one with one another. Amen? And not only that, look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Turn to somebody and say, that's a good thing right there. Man, I am glad my old way of thinking, my old actions, my old attitude, my all this old stuff has passed away. And all things have become new. Where did they become new at? In my new spirit that I have now. The moment I receive Christ is the moment I've got a new spirit in me. Man, that is so good. But here's something even it just gets better. I mean, you think, man, it couldn't even get any better than that. But it gets better. Because not only do we have salvation, not only do we have the Spirit in us, not only now are we filled with the Spirit, but God has provided the baptism of the Holy Spirit for every one of us. God desires that we are baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, the word baptism, which means to immerse, in what we're going to be doing in the water this morning is water baptism. But first, there's the baptism of salvation, where we're brought into the body of Christ, where we're brought into Jesus, where all of our sins are forgiven, where every gift he has for us is provided for us. And then he said, also, I have power for you. Turn to somebody and say, God's got power for you. Man, God didn't want you just struggling in this life. God has got power for you. So now that I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, what Jesus does and what Jesus wants to do is he wants to take me and baptize me in the Holy Spirit so that I'm completely submerged in the Spirit of God from the inside out, right? Look at Luke 24, 49. How many believe Jesus? How many believe the words of Jesus? Come on, raise your hands if you believe the words of Jesus. How many know that Jesus wouldn't lie to you? How many know that Jesus wouldn't lie to you? How many know that he's such a good, good God that he wouldn't lie to you? How many know that he didn't want to leave us alone or helpless, so he sent the Holy Spirit to us? Now, we're filled with the Holy Spirit the moment we believe, but we're not baptized in the Holy Spirit yet. But we can be baptized in the Holy Spirit because it's available to us like every other gift. And we receive it simply like we did salvation. We receive it by faith. And listen what Jesus told the early church. This is Jesus, some of his last words. And when somebody has some last words, you kind of listen up. You want to know what they're going to say, right? He said this, "Behold, I send the promise of God, the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued." That word endued means clothed or enabled with power from on high. God says, I've got a promise for you guys, church, and I don't want you to do anything. I don't want you to teach. I don't want you to preach. I don't want you to, you know, do anything until you receive this gift. Man, that must be some gift, right? Look at Acts 1:8. Look at Acts 1:8. Jesus speaking again before he ascends into heaven. His last words, listen what he says. "But you shall receive power." The word power there is dynamite, dunamis, amen, in the Greek. Power, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, "and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Fishers, Indiana. That's the ends of the earth, by the way. So, amen. So God has this wonderful gift of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then we know in Acts chapter 2, let me turn there and you turn there and follow me, when it was poured out on the church, the early church. Listen to what the Bible says. When the day of Pentecost means harvest or feast, had fully come, they're all with one accord. Doesn't mean they all had one Honda. They were just all in unity, right? They're all in one accord in one place, just like we are this morning. We're all in one accord. We're in one place, right? And suddenly, everybody say suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. So they were sitting just like us this morning. And it filled all the house. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire or power, and it set on each of them. And they're all filled with the Holy Spirit. They're all baptized. They're all filled with the Holy Spirit and begin to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, where many believers have problems, you know, it's, you know, no wonder the enemy fights so hard against this. It's where many believers have problems, say, well, I don't know about that tongue thing, right? But I heard a couple old cowboys talking one time, and these old cowboys were sitting there, and one old cowboy said to the other old cowboy, said, well, you know, if that Holy Spirit, because a lot of people say, well, speaking in tongues is of the devil. Now, that is far from the truth. Man, that is just a lie from hell. God gave us this wonderful gift to enjoy as our prayer language. Amen? And so these two old cowboys were sitting there one night, and they were talking and said, well, Slim, I was thinking, you know, the Holy Spirit baptism can't be from the devil. And George looked at him and said, what do you mean, Slim? He said, well, it can't be from the devil. And he said, well, why is that? He said, because if it was from the devil, we'd both have it. But it's amazing because in the early century, again, the Holy Spirit was poured out on a group of people in Azusa, California, and then in Tennessee and North Carolina. And then in the 60s, there was a great charismatic movement among the Catholics when the Holy Spirit was just, you know, they received this wonderful gift. It's been there all the time, amen? And God desires us to have it and to be filled with it because it just enables our life in so many wonderful ways. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, I don't know about that. I'm saved. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. But you can be saved and filled with the Holy Spirit yet haven't experienced all that God has for you. So I want to give you a scripture. I want to show you some disciples that were already saved, right, and already have the Holy Spirit because we already said that's true, that we do. But I want to give you this illustration. Look at Acts 19 and verse 1 and just go through the story with me this morning a little bit, all right? And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, near came to Ephesus and finding some disciples. Everybody say some disciples. So a disciple is a follower of Jesus. They already knew Jesus, and they were a follower of Jesus, right? And he said to them, listen to this, let's go on down. And he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They received the Holy Spirit, but not the baptism, right? So they said to him, we've not so much as heard there is a Holy Spirit. They haven't even heard it, yet they were disciples. There's a lot of people today that never hear about the baptism of the Holy Spirit because it's hardly preached on, right? And it should be preached on so much more. Amen? And he said to them, Paul said to them, into what then were you baptized? And they said, into John's baptism. John the Baptist was the forerunner of Jesus, right? He was pointing to Jesus. He's the one that, when Jesus showed up on the scene, said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And his baptism was to repentance and to receive and welcome Jesus into this life. And so they did not hear that there was a Holy Spirit because they weren't baptized under the baptism of Jesus. They were baptized under the baptism of John, which was pointing to Jesus as the Messiah. And then Paul said this. Look at the next verse. Paul said, John indeed baptized with water to repentance, right? Baptism to repentance, saying the people that should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Christ. Then when they heard this, notice, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is the authority of Jesus Christ. So when we baptize this morning, we're going to be baptizing in the authority of Jesus Christ in water. And when Paul laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now, the men were about 12 in all, so just about 12 disciples of John. They were baptized in the Holy Spirit. They were baptized in water, and then they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. So the benefit, one of the benefits of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues and praying in tongues is this. Jude 1:20. Everybody say, hey, Jude. Hey, Jude. But you, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. So when we pray in the Holy Spirit, we build ourselves up on our most holy faith. And, you know, Paul gave us some great instructions in Corinthians about the gift of tongues, because they are all wanting to come together and all wanting to speak in tongues when they are all gathered together. And said, Paul said, no, it's better that you speak in tongues, you know, in your private prayer life, unless someone's there to interpret. But Paul said, I speak in tongues more than you all. So Paul was an advocate of praying in the Spirit. And God wants us to pray in the Spirit. Because a lot of times, you know, the Bible says when we're praying in the Spirit in Corinthians, you know, we're not praying with our understanding. A lot of times when we're praying, our mind gets in the way. But when we're praying in the Spirit, amen, we're praying directly to God. It's a language the devil can't even understand. So it's a great benefit and blessing in our life because we're praying in the will of God, the Bible tells us, when we're praying in the Spirit. Man, I want to challenge you, if you haven't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's here for you this morning. First of all, if you haven't received Jesus, ask him into your life. In fact, we're going to do that right now before I go on. I want you to bow your head this morning for just a moment. And if you haven't received Christ this morning, and if you're watching online and haven't received Christ, it's very simple. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou will be saved. So when we believe, we turn away from our old way of thinking, and we give our life to Jesus Christ. So if you're here this morning, and you would like to give your life to Jesus Christ, and you say, man, I've messed up, I've done things, I'm just tired of running, I'm just ready for a new, fresh life. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. No one's looking, just raise your hand, put it right down, every head bowed, every eye closed. Just raise your hand and say, I'd like to receive the Lord this morning. Just real quickly, anybody today? Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Amen. Well, I want you to pray a quick prayer with me. Would you pray this prayer, everybody? Say with me, say, dear Jesus, thank you that you died for me. Thank you that you rose again and that you've come into my life. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you that you've forgiven me of all my sin. In Jesus' name, amen, and amen. If you said that prayer, you're a brand new person right in here. Let's give the Lord a good hand clap of praise. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, if you haven't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you can do that as well. Amen. The only thing you got to do is raise your hands, begin to praise Him, and just say, Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Baptize me in the Holy Spirit. Amen. And He'll do that. You'll say, well, man, will I speak in tongues? You probably will. Amen. And that's all right. God wants you to. Amen. And it's okay. We're all here as believers this morning. So you just receive that. Let's raise our hands a second. If you're here and haven't received the baptism, you just begin to worship Him and praise Him right now. And God just wants to pour His Spirit out upon you. Hallelujah. Right where you are. It's one of the most beautiful gifts you can receive. So just go ahead and receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit this morning. Allow that Spirit to dwell up in you and swell up in you and overflow in you. Amen. In your prayer language today. And we give you the praise and the glory this morning. God, we thank you for baptizing people in the Holy Spirit today. Lord, even in this place or as they go home this morning, God, may they experience this beautiful gift and power that you've given the body of Christ. And we give you praise for it in Jesus' precious name. Everybody said, amen, amen. Hallelujah. So, what is water baptism? I'm glad you asked. Amen. Water baptism, it's for every believer, like everything else is, right? God wants you to experience it. It's not a prerequisite for salvation, but it is a step of faith that the Bible talks about and encourages us as believers to take. God wants us to take that step of faith, amen? And when we choose to take this step of faith and be baptized in water out of a personal revelation of the finished work of Jesus is done for us. It's a revelation that I've received Christ and that the finished work is completed in my life. So in a nutshell, water baptism is an outward declaration that we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and now we are one with Him. Man, that is so good. And the Apostle Paul explains its significance, and I'm going to read this out of the Message Bible today. So if you can look up here or look up on the screen, we're going to read this. All right, listen to this. This is so good. What do we do? Keep on sinning so God can keep on forgiving? I should hope not. If we've left the country where sin is sovereign, how can we still live in the old house there? That's a good word, man. Or didn't you realize we packed up and left there for good? We're no longer there, baby. We've changed. Amen. We've got a brand new spirit in us. Doesn't mean you won't make a mistake, but it does mean God keeps on forgiving you. Doesn't mean that you won't fail somewhere, but it doesn't mean that God stops loving you. He still loves you. Amen. That is what has happened in baptism. Paul gives us this illustration with baptism. When we went under the water, we left the old country of sin behind. When we came out of the water, we entered into a new country of grace. I love that. A new life in a new land. Isn't that good? Amen. Look at this next verse. This is so good. That's what baptism into the life of Jesus means. When we are lowered into the water, it is like the burial of Jesus. When we are raised up out of the water, it is like the resurrection of Jesus. Each of us is raised into a light-filled world by our Father so that we can see where we're going in our new grace sovereign country. Man, God is so full of grace this morning and He loves you so much. Look at this next verse. I'm going to go out and read a little bit more. Could it be any clearer? Our old way of life was nailed to the cross with Christ. A decisive end to that sin, miserable life. Has anybody ever been there? Wow. No longer captive to sin's demands. What we believe is this. If we get included in Christ's sin-conquering death, we also get included in His life-saving resurrection. So this is what the whole symbol of baptism is all about. It's the communication of our faith to the world that Jesus Christ is the Lord of our life. We know that when Jesus was raised from the dead, it was the signal of the end of death as the end. Never again will death have its last word. When Jesus died, he took sin with him, but alive, he brings God to us. Man, that is so good. Amen. For now on, think of it this way. Sin speaks a dead language that means nothing to you. God speaks your mother tongue, and you hang on every word. You are dead to sin, alive to God. That's what Jesus did. Wow. Can you give God some praise for that? Amen. Let me give you two more scriptures this morning. Amen. Look at Colossians 2:13. Look at this morning. And you being dead in trespasses and sin and uncircumcision of your flesh, he made alive together. Wow. With him, having forgiven you all your trespasses. It's what he's done on the cross for us. Having wiped out the handwriting requirements, the law that was against us, that was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to a cross. That's what Jesus did for us. Romans 4:25, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. So here's where we get water baptism. Here's the scripture that we get this from. This is the words of Jesus. Now I want to show you this to you this morning. It says, go therefore and make disciples. Notice disciples are made, right? Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That's what we're going to do this morning, is baptize some precious souls because of their faith in Jesus Christ, because they've forgiven of all their sins. So if you're going to be baptized this morning, I'm going to let you slip back. I think they're all ladies today. Slip back to the ladies' room and change. And, Mom, you may want to help out there. And you can go right now and change. And the rest of us, let's stand this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.